Good morning, everybody, and a particularly warm hello if you're visiting us or here for the first time. All these notices really have to do with carols. At 11:30, the interactive service, there'll be more carols, and this evening at 18:30, there'll be even more carols, but by candlelight. Moving on to Christmas Eve, there are two services, one at 4 p.m., then Midnight Communion at 11:30, and I'd be surprised if there weren't carols then as well. And don't forget, please, that the Christmas Day service is at 10 o'clock, be followed by coffee. Do think particularly, Leslie reminded me, about the Christmas morning dress code, what you either need to wear or bring with you. So bring any presents you might like to show off. And then do make sure you either wear funny hats or funny scarves or posh frocks or whatever, depending on your gender, that is, obviously. Just to say that the alternative Christmas card has been out now for a week, and if you haven't got your copy yet, you'll find it in the foyer. And looking a little bit further ahead, on New Year's Day, there'll be the traditional bank holiday walk. It's on Wimbledon Common. It starts at 10:30, at the A3. Georgina would be happy to give you more details. And now Bron would like to say a few words.
Hello, this is just about the Christmas lunch on Christmas Day, which I'm not going to be involved in, but I went shopping yesterday, and Nigel and Sulhi and the team have got about 50, up to 50 people coming for lunch on Christmas Day. And we bought just about everything we could think of, didn't we, Sally? And we spent all our money, and we spent a little bit more. So we're looking for £44.09 to make it balance. I'm sure that if you come to me after, I'm sure there might be a few fivers coming my way. And also, if anybody's got a very large tin of Quality Street or Celebrations or something like that that they don't want, then we'd like those too. Thank you very much.
There has been a church in our tradition for 350 years, and we think that is something worth celebrating. So we say together, we are Kingston United Reformed Church. We celebrate our diversity of worship and freedom of relationship with the state. With the whole Christian church, we will follow Jesus. We will serve him in our community and in our daily lives in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Come and see the amazing acts of our God. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord.
Thank you.
Can I just give a bit of a health warning, just to take the pressure off the tech team, to say that we're in the process, we've got a new laptop. That's, you know, so things might be a bit twitchy. So if things get a bit twitchy, you'll just shrug your shoulders and think, ha, God's in the house. No, it's not your fault, man. So let's pray. Surprising God, in your presence we dance for joy with somersaults and cartwheels and the clapping of hands. For you have done wonderful things. You have turned our world upside down. You have given us the opportunity to see things from a totally different perspective. God of the insignificant, you call us to be your change in the world, but we have preferred things as they are. You call us to challenge those who misuse their power, but we have preferred not to rock the boat. You have called us to show strength when people need support, but often in weakness we turn away. You have called us to be your humble people, but we would rather be with the powerful. Give us the courage and the strength to be alongside those that the world considers insignificant, those at the bottom of the pile. For in so doing, we know that we are alongside Christ. And we offer our prayers in his name. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. See that? Sugin summons and half a dozen people bob. Me? Do you mean me? No, not me.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a girl promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his word meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary said to the angel, I am a virgin. How then can this be? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative, Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen to me as you have said. And the angel left her. Amen.
Amen. So I need some volunteers, please, to... what about Dahi? Would you like to come? Matilda, Dylan, would you like to come? Yeah, I know that. I've got four candles, man. Four candles, that's a sketch. Here we go. Candle, would you like to come and light a candle? What do we think? Would that be fun? Good. Great. Whew, I was anxious there just for a minute. I clicked and nothing happened. Right, so who is going to light the first one? Dahi, would you light the first one? If I click it, would you guide my hand? Here we go. That's it. It's this one. No, it's that. Oh, that'll do. Thank you. Who's going to light the next one? Matilda's going to light the next one. Go on, Matilda. Up we come. It's good. Should we light the purple one? Should we light the purple one now? That's it. There we are. That's good. And then you're going to light the pink one. Oh. There it is. Turn it around very, very carefully. There we go. Pink one. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. That's right. Not the red one. I'm going to light the red one in a minute. If you stay there, maybe you two could light the red one. Do you want to wait a minute? That's good. So we light these candles of peace and hope and joy.
Before I was born, you called me.
In the shadow of God's hand, me. We light this candle to remember God's love for the whole creation. God loves us into being and enfolds us safely forever. So we're going to light the red one now. Let's light the red one. There we are. That's it. Great. And you can blow. 3, 2, 1. Brilliant, thank you.
God is love.
Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. See you later. Bye-bye. We tend to listen and hear from the prophet Micah at two times in the year. One is Remembrance Sunday. And then maybe over the Christmas season, when Micah is the one who points towards Bethlehem, and we would say was probably the one that the scribes were thinking of when they were having their conversation with Herod. So after years of stability, suddenly the northern kingdom is attacked, and Micah is trying to give the people a word of hope. And Martin Verge will read this passage to us.
So the reading is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5a. The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman who is to give birth has her son. Then those Israelites who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness, and he will bring peace.
So, continuation of the reading. We have in the Gospel according to Luke a meeting between two women in very different social circumstances. And Barbara Fielding will read this passage to us.
Reading is from Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Mary visits Elizabeth. Soon afterwards, Mary got ready and hurried off to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby moved within her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why should this great thing happen to me, that my Lord's mother comes to visit me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true." Amen.
Amen. An old joke. Are you pregnant? Well, a little bit. The small, the insignificant, and yet the transformational. The small is easily ignored. The census says that the numbers are down. Who was surprised by that? Somebody in the church, not Kingston or Seymour, but said that he hoped that other people getting hold of the news that we knew, was that they would get it as a wake-up call, that they would realise that those people who were ignorant of how things are in the life of Britain today would get it as a wake-up call, and they would wise up, and it would be the thing that would make them step up, actually make some sort of choices. Who knows? The numbers, though, are not how it works in God's economy. The power is not with the powerful, though they think it is. The church has flirted long with those who are in power. But we are dissenters. All the church is best in the place of dissent, using our influence rather than our power to be a voice for justice, a critical friend of those who are in power. Our story is of 12 people who turned the world upside down, of a child who will change everything, of a small town that becomes the center of the stage. If the prophet Micah had been sitting in the congregation this morning, or in any of the other congregations where these words have been read, he would hear us in amazement about how we have used his words. Not that we have distorted them, but that we have used them in a way that he never intended. He spoke to people in the middle of their immediate crisis. So the city of Jerusalem is under siege. After years, when this small country has been ignored by the dominant power, whoever that was at this time, suddenly the Syrians turn their attention towards Israel. And King Hezekiah of the line of David is apparently unable to do anything about it. And under his rule, the people are frightened. So where is their security to come from? And Micah talks about a child who will come. He doesn't use the word Messiah, but in time that is how the text has been used for Christians and for Jews. And Matthew, as he quotes the text, speaks about the deliverer who will be Jesus. The sting in the tail, though, of such a passage is that often those who are oppressed people become oppressors. Those who are weak, when they become strong, become militant. It's as though somehow we can't quite trust that God will really deliver. And we feel the need to sort of take a helping hand ourselves. So we put on the uniform of the powerful. The uniform of the Assyrians or whatever other army is around. But these words of Micah must be heard in the context of the universal message that we know in other places from Micah about harmony and peace. The good news of the birth of one is not about domination for one group over another. It is about justice, it is about peace, and it's about that for all. So we have the story of Mary's visit to Elizabeth, which is the story of a natural, warm human kindness. As we're talking about a week's walk from Nazareth to the territory of Judea. And Mary goes to be with the older woman and those around her as she faces the anxieties and expectation of her first pregnancy. And the story is of the delight of two women in their babies. And it's particularly charming where the older woman defers to the younger one, who then moves on to the passage that we know as the Magnificat, which we have already sung. There could have been There could have been a sort of tension and frisson in the air in the encounter between those two women. If you think about their social circumstances and imagine it as real women as opposed to holy women, it could have been a bit of a frisson. One of them's all nicely set up, thank you very much, and one is, their life is pretty precarious. But you don't get any of that in the text. You get something more powerful in that from the sound of the greeting of Mary's voice, the child in Elizabeth's womb leaps, and that changes everything. Elizabeth, the older woman, pregnant at last, the wife of a priest, all that sort of social joy and expectation. Mary, younger, not yet married. And the centre when Elizabeth, with all that religious power and authority, defers to Mary is the start of things turning upside down. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, is a quote from Deuteronomy, and is a word of blessing on those who would do God's will. So the next time somebody patronizes you because you are a foreigner, or because you are old, or ignores what you are saying because of your race or your gender, or you find yourself as the only one speaking out for the weak when everybody else is marching in a line with the strong, you will smile inwardly. Don't smile outwardly because they'll hate you. Smile inwardly and you will remember this whole encounter. Mary, are you pregnant? A bit. And in a small way, in that encounter, give life to something new. But the whole thing does not end there. Change of gear. All that is good, but it is not ecstatic. Have you ever, good, restrained, moderate people of Kingston United Reformed Church, have you ever celebrated in a way that was completely uninhibited? Well, that's one, that's two, I think two, oh, three. Nod, completely uninhibited. Wait, I'm not even looking at you. Have you ever celebrated in a way that was completely uninhibited? That's five, six. Have you ever, I'm not asking you for your stories, don't worry. You're not going to have to tell me about your raucous nights of dancing. Have you ever celebrated in a way that was completely do you not even know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, and one of two of you have. Have you ever celebrated in a way that was completely uninhibited? And I want to ask you, as I'm saying this repeatedly, I'm not talking to myself, I'm talking to you, if you do not know what I am talking about, you need to have a bit of a look. You need to have a bit of a think. At the very least, you need to pull the curtains and put on some music and start dancing. So the flood water that you think is going to engulf your home doesn't. Or the phone goes and you have got that job. We had an incident. Somebody was stabbed in the Memorial Garden. I can't remember the guy's name. If Sally was working out, I would have asked her. And he ended up in St. George's Hospital. And by the Sunday morning, the rumour was that he had died. So the homeless people were anxious. And Sam, who cooked our dinner for the 350 celebration, was particularly anxious because he and this guy, Tony, were good friends. So the rumour was that this man was dead, and so the tension was beginning to build up. So Sally decided that the thing to do was to phone up the hospital and find out. Holy Joe was needed, and so we got the news that he wasn't dead. You know how rumours start, and you know we need a bit of accurate information. So I went and I said to Sam was there, he's crying, he was distraught because this man who had become his friend, this terrible act of violence, which was bad enough he was stabbed, but I said, he's not dead. He's not dead. And he just grabbed me and kissed me on the lips and gave me a great big huge hug. And I want to tell you now, if I'd been a man, it would have grabbed me, kissed me on the lips and gave me a great big huge hug as well. The complete joy of that, a person that you thought was dead is alive. Right, so you've got that feeling? You've got that feeling? You can feel that? Or you can go back to your own time of celebration and now hear these words from the Message translation. I'm bursting with God's good news. I am dancing the song of my Saviour God. God took one good look at me and look what happened. I am the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. God's mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. God bared his arm and showed his strength, scattering the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor are set down to a banquet. The callous rich are left out in the cold. He embraces his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly as he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. And that is the song for 2 days' time. Let us be still. For times of joy and celebration, O God, we give you thanks. For the potential and the transformation of the one to be born. Empower us. Your small, insignificant people, like a child in the womb, and may your love, your life, your justice, your mercy, your hope come to birth through us. Lord, we pray. Amen. The angel Gabriel from heaven came. Janine's daughter-in-law's brother is a man in his 20s and he has leukemia and things are not looking good. He's called Mark. Janine's asked us to pray for him. So let us pray. In the early days of her pregnancy, Mary made the long journey to visit Elizabeth. And in the late stages of her pregnancy, she travelled 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So we remember today all those that are moving, from the old to the new, from tyranny to democracy, from war to peace, from danger to safety, from despair to hope, from exploitation to freedom, from fear to tranquility, from homelessness to sanctuary. Remember those who wait. Those who wait for good news, for love, for hope, for new birth. For healing. Think of Mark and his family. The medics. Remember that today, those who hear the news that there is new life on the way, and those who will receive the news with joy, but those who are going to be afraid. Those who will rejoice and give support, and those who will turn their backs. Those who will make expensive preparations, and those who will wonder how they are going to feed another mouth. Those who have given up hope. And those who are still waiting. Those who have been told that something is not right. Those who on this day will deliver with ease. Those for whom birth will also be a moment of tragedy. And those who will struggle. For those people that we have heard about, whose situations call us to pray. And for ourselves. Creator God, may they and we know you close. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. So we continue our worship as we make our offering. Bethany, did you just drop that? It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone you, each other's needs to prefer, for it is you we are serving. Amen. Now, I hope your lungs are good and strong, because we're going to sing Bethany's Choice, and it's Barbara's favourite as well. Bethany, it's Barbara's favourite. O Holy Night. Who knows this? Yep, good. I'm counting on you. Up you get. Let's go. You know what? God thought that was great. Yeah, okay. Cool. And now may the Prince of Peace be born in our hearts, and may his light and life shine from our lives. Over this season and into all eternity. Amen.